Hey guys, it's your girl Kamara A. Unique, and I just want to welcome you to the A. Unique Beauty Podcast, where we talk all things beauty and God. I am so excited. Christmas was yesterday, guys. I'm going to get into that, but let me share with really what I wanted to talk about today. We are gearing up for the end of the year, y'all. Oh my God, 21 is over. Whew, ciao. And I know that the last time we spoke, I challenge you guys to shift your perspective before walking into this new year, because I just feel like in this new year, we have to be so anchored in what God is saying, anchored in what God has already done, and anchored in what God is already doing, so that we do not get tripped up or start to feel that God is not with us, right? And it's so fitting how, you know, the end of the year, we think of Emmanuel, and Emmanuel is the God who is with us, right? And we want to think of God as our friend, right? And so I know a lot of us has experienced some things in this last year. I know I did. And shifting our thoughts is something that we can do, so we're no longer being held back from walking into the true abundance that God wants for us. And if we don't shift those thoughts and start to heal our hearts from the people, the past relationships, the business failures, anything, the money, not having the money, whatever it is that you may have gone through, changing apartments, changing homes, moving from one place to the next, anything that you feel like you have gone through that could have added any damage to your heart is like literally saying, okay, God, show me where you were in those experiences and show me how I can heal from that so that I can learn the lesson from it so I can apply it to my next, right? I know I've been practicing joy from the beginning of the season. And though it has not been easy, because, you know, once you say, you share, I'm going to experience joy, the enemy comes with a whole lot of distractions, right? And so I'm just grateful that I've tried. I'm grateful that I actually tried to celebrate with joy and to just really try something new. And I feel like it did a shift in me that was needed. It strengthened me. It allowed me to learn how to be quiet and how to listen. But it also allowed me to listen to like the friendships and relationships that I had around me and the wise counsel that I had from girlfriends and from guy friends that could pour into me when things were questionable. Teddy made some new friends. Shout out to my baby boy, Teddy. And I'm seeing my beautiful, amazing, foster turned adopted dog that was once temperamental. He's still a little temperamental. You know, we call him Testy Teddy. But he's still a little temperamental, but he's become so friendly and is playing with others. And it makes me so happy. My last dog, Munchie, was the exact opposite. Like, Munchie was traumatized because, honestly, I was not a good mom in the beginning. I did not know what it took to raise a dog. And I decided with Teddy, I was going to do things very differently. I'm going to, you know, try my best to introduce him to relationships, and because I know that we thrive in relationships, and even dogs thrive in relationships. So if you have a dog and you have not taken your dog to the dog park to make friends, I trust that you should do that ASAP, because they thrive on relationships and they thrive when they are around like-minded individuals, aka other dogs, like most humans are, right? Christmas passed, and for the first time in years, I woke up not choosing violence. And I'm talking about violence from against myself. Most Christmases, I wake up and I'm just like, I'm going to sit in my house by myself and do absolutely nothing and feel very sad and bah humbug. And if people wish me a Merry Christmas, I'm not going to respond. And that's just been my years for the past few years. And this year I decided to say, you know what, I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose love, and I'm going to invite the people that I have grown to love in the last year. Most of them are brand new relationships, but they've been really amazing. And I'm going to cook a meal and invite them over and see how it goes. And I cannot lie that I received so much love yesterday that I knew that God's Like, this was God's plan for me. Like, God's plan for me was not to sit in the house and watch Hallmark movies all day, which honestly, it's a good time. Watching a Hallmark movie all day, that's a good time, y'all. But being surrounded by people and like-minded people and people that love the Lord really helped me to see, like, that I thrive in relationships and I thrive in building relationships and being able to serve others. And that was really, really good. And in return, I was served back. I received gifts and it was great. It was a really, really good Christmas. And so it had me thinking, you know, last year I decided to build a vision board with God. So with my vision board last year and going into this year, I basically asked God to show me what is it the vision that he had for me in my coming year or in the next 5 years or before that, and how did he want me to basically put it on the board, to see it, to believe it, and to know it. Like, I think most people talk about manifesting their desires, and they're all manifesting the desires of their own hearts and not manifesting the desire that God put in their hearts. And so it's like you're manifesting, you're not truly manifesting the word that God or his plan that he had for you, basically. And then a lot of people find themselves in this place of pain and wondering, how did they get there? And it could feel good in the beginning and it feels like you're on purpose and you're walking into it, and then something comes and trips you, and what do? You go back to stage one and you blame God and you act like it never happened and you go into depression. Let's try to figure out a way to end that cycle today in Jesus' name. And so I was reading Proverbs 16 in the NIV, and it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And it says to humans, in my Bible, it says to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. And it makes me think of, like, what does it mean? Like, the meaning of a plan. A plan is a detailed proposal for achieving something, and establishes means that it's a setup of an organization, system, or a set of rules on a firm and or permanent basis. And it just makes me think of, like, how the Lord directs our steps and basically plants it on a firm, like, established foundation so that we can walk boldly in what he's calling us to do. And I believe that partnering with God, I believe that the Lord directs our steps, and I believe that partnering with God will have us going his way and not our own way. And then when the hiccup happens, we don't fall back into those old patterns, like I said before, and then blame him and start to fall over again. And then it's basically a cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle. Like, now it's time to just say, okay, cycle, I see you. I see what you're doing. Fall back. We're going to try something new and actually really attempt to do it. And not just do it because it's a new year, but do it because it's a new you. So submitting and partnering with God prepares you for partnerships in business, intimate relationships, and family. We also have to know that we serve a God who is a planner and a creative that thrives on inspiration. We think of, like, when he formed Adam. When he formed Adam, he made sure that the trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And I believe he did this. He did this because though Adam would have God to be inspired, like, Adam had, like, God by his side to say, yo, I'm inspired by you, Lord. Thank you for this. Like, he had full on conversation with the Lord. Right. I think that what God was doing was that God was doing this as a creative. Our surroundings kind of, like, help us. What God was showing us was that as creatives, most of our surroundings help us to see the vision that God has planned for us. And so when we look around at the things that's around us, like the trees, or maybe it's like for me in LA, I see palm trees. I can go driving someplace and see the Hollywood sign. I can drive 30 minutes and go to the beach. And it's like it helps us to see the vision that God has planned for us. And then we in return can write that vision and make it plain. But before you want to do that, before you want to write the vision and make it plain, you want to put on your full armor of God every day. And so when we put on the full armor of God, we take the helmet of salvation and we place it upon our minds and we take all our thoughts captive and we make it obedient to Christ. So any negative thoughts that may come in that might try to trip you, you basically combat that thought with what God is saying. So this is good for us to know our words. So anytime the enemy may try to say to you, oh, you're never going to win. You're never going to win. You're never going to do anything. You could be like, oh, well, that does not what God said, because God said to me that though anything will linger, it will certainly come and it will not delay. So I'm not in delay and I'm never going to fail. Like, because I did some stuff with him, did work with him, I'm never going to fail, you know? And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness that allows us to guard our hearts in the things that we do. You know, there's a song called Not By Might Nor By Power, But By The Spirit Of God that we do. And that's also a scripture. And so it allows us to guard our hearts so that we don't move by might, by our own might, by our own power, but by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, so that we can lead ourselves in a way that is very, very level-headed. Guarding our hearts allows us to not move with too much feelings, but move with more logic. And I have a friend that he's so logical. Like, he just very, 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 like, this is how he thinks and this is how he gets it done. And he's so disciplined with his life. And I look at it, I'm like, okay. I mean, most men are very logical with their thinking. They do not allow their feelings to interrupt how they want to move. And they're very disciplined with how they grow in their lives and the people that they choose to be around. And I think we could take some advice from that and move a little bit more logical and not move with feelings. We look at Eve, how she moved with feelings of not trusting God and then basically kind of ruining her and her husband's legacy by giving him the apple to eat without letting him know where she got it from, right? And so we put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth allows us to walk in that truth of who we are, the truth of who God is to us, the truth of that we will trust in the Lord God with all our heart and not lean unto our own understanding. And in all our ways, if we acknowledge him, he will establish as long as we acknowledge him, trust in the Lord God with all your heart, lean on to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will establish your plans. Like, he will literally establish the path that you go on and lead you on the path that you are called to go on. And that's when we put on that belt of truth, of the truth of understanding and trusting God, because we want to trust God. And I know that a lot of us have I'm speaking for myself too, because my trust, child, listen, it has gone. I don't even know where it's been. It's coming back though. It is coming back, and it's only coming back because I am making the choice to make it come back. And the only way that we can really truly start trusting in the Lord and trusting the plans that he has for us is if we actually say, you know what? I'm no longer going to be a bah humbug. I'm no longer going to be a woe is me. I am going to just say, okay, I felt that. Keep it moving. Oh, I felt that punch. All right, well, guess what? It didn't knock me down, and keep it moving. And then the next thing we want to do is put on the gospel of peace sandals. The gospel of peace sandals allows us to walk into peace, peace of everything, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that knows that God has gone before us and he will never leave us nor forsake us, a peace that knows that every room we touch, it's filled with the peace of God, that we go into those rooms and people see God before they see us. And that is my prayer every single day, of like, God, let people see you before they see me. Like, make me so small and make your presence so big so that I can do the work that you've called me to do and not lead with my feelings, but lead with peace. And then the next thing we do is we pick up our shield of faith. The shield of faith allows us to walk in that now faith. The now, which is my favorite scripture, is Hebrews 11:1. And it's, now faith is the confidence in what is unseen. So it's given us the confidence to move forward on the things that we do not see that God is doing. But moving in that assurance that what God is doing, that God is working on our behalf. So it's now faith is the confidence. I'm actually memorizing these stuff, guys, so I don't have it written down. But now faith is the confidence in what is unseen and the assurance of what is to come. So we are assured that even though we may not see it, we know that God is working. Even though we may not feel it, we know that God is working. Even though we may question it, we know that, okay, God, I know you're working, and forgive me for questioning what you are doing. And because we want to make sure we're partnering with the Lord, we want to make sure that we're not going against what he said he's going to do, because all the enemy wants us to do is go against and question what God said he was going to do, and then word curse ourselves, and then basically God has to fix a whole nother thing, which brings a whole nother plan of like delay and all that stuff. So it's just like, just stop saying the negative things and start speaking and prophesying into your life, and you can receive a prophecy through the word. And then the next thing we want to do is pick up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our sword is the word. Our sword is strengthened by the word. And your sword in the Spirit is not as strong if you do not really understand the word of God. If you are not using the word of God, if you're not memorizing and meditating on the word of God. And so that sword of the Spirit is knowing that God contends with those who contend with me. He fights against those who fights against me. He takes up shield and armor, and he arises and comes to my aid. You know, it's also is a that the, you know, no weapon that's forged against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, God will condemn it in Jesus's name. And also he will condemn the words that people speak about me, not only the words that you speak on yourself, but the words that people will speak about you. He shuts it down. He brings it to a full halt stop. And then the next thing we want to do is we want to ask God to be our rear guard. Asking God to be our rear guard allows us to know that if our back is turned and the enemy tries to shoot something, it will not touch us, that it will bounce off of God and that it will never even affect us the way that the enemy thinks that it could affect us, because we are hidden under God and under his word and under his love for us. And so we go to Habakkuk 2, and it's like, the prophet gave us the exact plan on how to plan our lives with the Lord. And so I'm going to read it real quick in the Amplified version, because I think the Amplified version is really dope. And so God answers the prophet. It says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give as his spokesman. And when I am reproved, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets, so that the one who reads it will run for the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment, and it will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come and it will not delay. Look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. And so when I read that, I'm like, wow, Lord, you are making it very clear that we need to partner up with you, and we need to seek you first, your kingdom and all of your righteousness, and all shall be given to us, right? And so when we do that, when we read that Habakkuk 2, because so many people like to say, write the vision and make it plain, but they forget all the other stuff that came before he said, write the vision and make it plain. So in it, he shares that he will stand guard at his post, meaning that he will not give up on what the Lord told him to do, which is prayer and fasting and creating. Right. And so most of the times when we feel defeated, most of the times when we feel like, oh, God, I'm tired, I'm strong, the enemy is attacking. Oh, there's so much going on. There's so much warfare around us. Oh, God, you give up on praying and you stop praying and you stop fasting and you stop doing it. You want to ask me how I know? Because I did it. OK. And you feel like you just stay quiet. Don't speak what God is telling you to speak. Just stay quiet and don't move on it. During this time, he will keep watch and see what God is saying during that prayer and fasting. You want to stop and listen to what the Lord is saying to you. And then you want to look for the vision of what he's saying to you and fix your eyes on Jesus. Knowing God's voice is often a spontaneous thought. You have to be so prepared to trust what you hear. And then with God by your side, you want to write the vision just as he gave it to you. And so that takes time of like making intimate time with God, spending that intimate time in His presence and not getting distracted by television, a phone call, talking to somebody, or reading a book that you shouldn't be reading or watching a show that you shouldn't be watching, but literally fixing your eyes on God and writing out what He is showing you for your next and then asking Him, what is it that you need to do to get there? He said, make it plainly so that the ones who read this will run, who reads it will run, because it will not fail. The things that we do with the Lord by our sides will never fail. It will never fail. You may receive opposition, you may receive pushback, but God's hand is on it because you allowed Him to come in as your provider. You allowed Him to come in as your partner. You allowed Him to come in as your friend. And He is like, because you trust Me so much, nothing that you touch would fail because you have listened to what I told you to do and you are going to go forward in it and you're going to move on everything with Me by your side. So it will not fail, but form us exactly where He desires to push us and to walk in our purpose. I look at so many people feeling lost and wondering what is their purpose and where is their purpose and when will they ever experience purpose and purpose, and forgetting that purpose leads to Him in the process. Like, He is the process that leads to purpose. Like, He is in the purpose process. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I had for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, you know. And it's like, if He shared that He knew the plans that He had for us, the only way for us to receive the blueprint is to get in His face and then start what He needs, what is needed for us to get there. You can start by meeting with Him weekly to plan out your week. And it's kind of like treating God like as your supervisor. It's kind of like keeping Him up to date on numbers, on strategies, on relationships, etc. Like, before I go into any relationships, I kind of be like, God, okay, if this is not You, I ask You to just demolish it now. Like, end this relationship. Show Me who this person is. Show Me who this is. What do You think about this business idea, Lord? How do I get in it? Because, you know, you also have to ask Him. You sit, you wait, you listen on how He's moving with that certain thing, and then you move on it. You don't just sit and wait on it. Like, even with this podcast today, I felt the need to push it out from this morning. He started to download what I was going to say in my head, and I ignored it. And then tonight I was like, okay, let me stop, because I guess it was like a fear of like, you know, like, sometimes you overthink the steps. You overthink, like, is anybody gonna listen? You overthink all these things, and it's like, God, just do it. And I look at corporate folks. I look at people that I know that's in corporate, and I realize that some of them are like the best when it comes to submission, because they report to someone. Most people that work in corporate report to someone daily. And most entrepreneurs don't have someone to report to. So they think that doing it all alone is what is the way, and forget that you have to partner with someone, which is the Lord, who gave you the idea in the first place. And so it's like, kind of like changing your mind to thinking that you are working in corporate with God, that you are in corporation with Him. He is the CEO and you are the vice chair president, or He is the founder of the company and you are the CEO, and you have to go to Him to find out, okay, what is your vision for it? What do you like to do? Where you want to go with it? What is it that, what did I do wrong? How could I have been better? What do you think I should do next time? If in the event, if bop, 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 cat, 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 right? Which comes with a level of sacrifice. I think that one of the things that we have to realize is that a level of sacrifice is something that does not come easy. When people think like, oh, you have to sacrifice so much. Like, when I started beauty and I started working in the beauty industry, I went from working and making $80,000 a year at Estee Lauder on commission and selling makeup and products and all this stuff. And then I went to MAC and I was like, I'm going to go and become a better makeup artist. And with that being said, I went from making $80,000 a year to $20,000 a year working part-time with no benefits, nothing. And I only did it to sacrifice in order for me to become the artist that I desired and that I saw for myself. Like I saw, I was like, God is doing something in me. And I didn't even know the Lord at that time, like how I do now. But I trusted that there was something that I had to do. There was something that I needed to learn how to do. And I needed to sacrifice that in order to get to that place. And so when we think of sacrifice, sacrifice is dying of your fleshly desires and finally being okay with God's desires, right? And Romans 12 is something that basically speaks to us about that. And so I'm going to read it. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart. I'm reading from the Amplified version too, so that's why it's like extra. Dedicating all of yourselves, set apart. So it's basically saying like, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself. When I first read this, I thought about more of like dedicating my body to the Lord and not having sex before marriage and just waiting on the Lord. But it's dedicating all of myself that is set apart. All of myself includes my mind, my vision, my thoughts, my body, how I work out, how I treat myself, dedicating all of that as a living sacrifice, holy and well and pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. So he's like, I need you to think logically and I need you to think intelligently and I need you to come and sacrifice yourself to me so that you can worship me in a way that will prosper you and will take you higher. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. I know we can look at people and see, oh, this guy's buying his girl a Beamer and this and a Porsche and this car and all these things. And it's like you start thinking, oh, these people are couples goals. And look at this and what he did. It's goals. Oh, they have this together and they're doing all this and they're making money together. And God, I want what she has. But you don't even know what he's doing in the background. And you don't know what she's doing in the background. So it's making you more mature to say, God, I want what you have for me. I want and I desire the things that you desire for me. And I'm happy with the things that you have for me because I don't want to look at someone else's life and wish that I had that. I want to be happy with what the vision that you've given me. And it says, but be transformed progressively and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. It's basically telling you that his will is perfect. His will and his plan for you is exactly what you should be desiring and what you should want and what you should feel peace about. You know, Romans 12 reminds us that maturing spiritually and building with the Lord so that we can learn his plan for our lives in a short way of saying it. And I think that though I've learned this last year, I learned this like in 2020, I learned this. I learned all of this and I literally, you get tripped up because you start to think, well, maybe if I try it this way, maybe this is what God is saying to do. Maybe. And it's like, when are you going to stop and just listen and follow directions and be okay with the direction that he's leading me in? Because he's never led me in a place where I failed. Like literally throughout this whole entire year, though I was slayed. I was slayed, y'all. Though I was slayed moving 4 times and experiencing so much hardship, losing jobs, losing clients, one by one, and not even on things that was my fault. Like, literally, you could ask any of those clients, what did Kamara do to you? And they probably would not have a proper answer. Just to be honest with you, right? And I think all of the negative things that I experienced had me in a place of thinking that I was unworthy, thinking that something was wrong with me, thinking that I was just a mess. And so I basically stopped producing and stopped being intentional. And then I said, okay, I have to stop because I cannot go into this new thing that God is doing for me by putting all the power into people and humans. And that the life of a prophet, most times you're going to be rejected, right? That's why when people are quick to call themselves a prophet, I'm like, child, you don't even know what you're signing up for. Just be happy that you walk in the prophetic and don't walk in the office because the office is not fun. So anyway, y'all, I just want you guys to take this last week of 2021 to continue to develop the relationship of submission to the Father. For whatever that you want to see a shift in your life, whether it's your relationship status, whether it's your career or your life in general, I want you to stop and see how you can fully submit to the Lord and allow him to strengthen you, but also allow him to break off the habits of doing it on your own and attaching it to doing it with him. And then watch your new year be the best year ever. And then we got to stick to it. I think one of the things that a lot of, when we look at influencers and see how many of them are doing such fantastic jobs and making amazing money with influencing the masses that they're called to, it's because they have stuck to it. Even when they had zero likes, they kept going. Even when they had 31 views, they kept going. And so I encourage you guys to keep going, because like in Habakkuk 2, what God said is, if you do it with me, you will not fail. And then I want you to be patient with yourself and the process. I want you to enjoy the process. And I want you to kill that need for instant gratification. I think Instagram has made it this thing of like, you have to live this certain life. You have, things have to look this way. Even I thought that things had to be a certain way in order for me to grow. And in order for me to be something that I am, that God, you know, whatever God called me to be, that it had to be a certain way and look a certain way. And I started to just say, you know what? I have to learn how to, before I can get the more, let me be okay with who God has given me now. Let me be so comfortable with the people that I'm called to and pouring into those people in the way that I can, that I can honestly, just like enjoy my process rather than overthinking the process. And so I encourage you guys today, I want to wish you guys a happy, happy, joyous new year. I want you guys to please comment below. Let me know how you feel about the podcast. Is it hitting or is it not? Are you going to write the vision and make it plain with the Lord, or are you going to try to do it yourself and try to manifest your own thing? I encourage you guys to try to do it with him and and enjoy the process and enjoy the ride. And also keep me updated on how things is going with your relationship with God. Because honestly, when I received the letters, like notes or DMs about the podcast and how it's touching you guys, it really helps me. And I say this every time I end the podcast. So hopefully y'all listening, because I'm just want you guys to know that it really helps me keep going. So I just want you guys to keep hitting me up, keep letting me know how's it hitting for you, and enjoy it and share it and like and subscribe. So thank you for listening to the A Unique Beauty Podcast, where we talk all things beauty and God. I am Kamara A Unique, and I am signing out officially for the year. See you guys next year in Jesus' name. Hello. Amen.